Welcome to the Data Strategy Show, 66 Questions, Data Leaders Unplugged. I'm your host, Samir Sharma, and I'm delighted to have Gareth Parks on the show today as my guest. Gareth is a super passionate and purposeful leader. He is currently head of data and analytics for Sir Robert McAlpine and board member for the Energy Management Systems and Energy Audits Committee. He describes himself as enthusiastic, compassionate, and tenacious, and he loves all things about data. He's influencing the world of construction to embed better working practices in projects, and as he says, 1 in 200 fail to be delivered on time, on budget, and with ROI. So he's super excited about changing that in the industry with his colleagues across the sector. I think you will love this episode. Gareth shoots from the heart and is an explorer of culture, people, countries, and is super inspirational. Some fantastic responses to 66 questions. I hope you enjoy this episode. Please do like, share, and comment. And I know you will really love listening to Gareth. As always, behind every data leader, there is a person. And here is Gareth Unplugged. Gareth Parks. Welcome to the Data Strategy Show, 66 Questions, Data Leaders Unplugged. Gareth, how are you doing this morning?
Hi, Samir. Yeah, very well, thank you. Yeah, really great. Looking forward to the conversation.
Yes, likewise. And a Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year. Discussed, it's probably one of those things which I think is, maybe it's the last week that you can say that to people.
I think so, yeah.
Right, Gareth, let's go straight into it. Gareth, what's your wake-up ritual?
I've got two very young children, so my wake-up ritual is basically everything that I need to do in order to get them out the door.
Yes.
As fast
as possible.
Exactly, yeah. And never fast enough.
So. Don't tell me about it. I have the same issues. And then you have time for yourself and you just chill out, do you?
It's usually bit of time to eat breakfast and then straight into
work
day.
So, yeah, brilliant. Yeah. What would you say is your biggest strength?
I think my ability to think on my feet about difficult situations is probably
And in the complex landscape that you're in, that sort of needs you to look at and orchestrate a whole bunch of different plates spinning.
Exactly, there's all sorts of different moving parts, and it's about working out actually, well, if this thing moves, then what's the knock-on effect and what are the implications two or three steps removed.
So you're always looking that far ahead.
That's something that I perhaps to a fault start to think about the long term.
It's good. What's the biggest learning experience you've had?
I love learning and just voracious reader and pick up on all sorts of things. But I think actually learning about myself is my kind of learning experience. And I guess actually it's then often the conversations that I have with my wife and she's incredibly kind of useful at helping me to explore and understand myself, which
hopefully she's more useful at everything else, because when she listens to this, she said, Gareth, you said I'm just useful for you.
Very much so.
I'm sure it's fine. Listen, do you have a first memory of life?
Probably one of my earliest is actually being bitten by a dog on holiday.
Oh my goodness, that's not a great one, is it?
But not on the face of it, but actually the more that I kind of we're going back that far, how much you construct these memories and how much of it is sort of actuality. But actually my sense of it is my overriding feeling is one of the comfort that my sort of parents and my family sort of provided when that happened. And so it's such a long
the
time
security that you had around that.
Exactly. Yeah, 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 wonderful. Very much so.
Wonderful. What are you most excited about these days?
I love what I do, and I'm just really excited about the year ahead. I think we're going to have a really great year.
Yeah.
There's so much in the construction sector. There's so much sort of change going on, and it ebbs and flows. We've got huge sort of market challenges that we're dealing with at the moment, but I guess I relish those sort of incredibly difficult, complex challenges and plotting way through them.
And what's the one thing that you would say is the biggest challenge for you right now, given those market conditions, but something that you feel given that when we talked about the immaturity in terms of data, what's the one thing that you think that this year is going to change in that dynamic?
So a lot of it comes down to understanding of, it's not so much what's possible, it's it's how we are how we're delivering, how we're setting ourselves up to make that those possibilities a reality. Mm-hmm. And I think it's what I'm expecting to see this year is a bit of a step change in that level of sort of stakeholder understanding of what we're able to do.
Yeah, it makes sense. So still a lot of hand holding, still a lot of very guiding much. People and what's the best compliment you've ever received?
Last year, in fact, I was lucky enough to be offered a board position on an external organization. It's a startup, not for profit, called the Construction Data Trust. The goal is to use data to transform the sector. Privileged to be asked to take up a position on the board.
Fantastic. Well, that sounds great. Congrats. What makes you angry?
I don't get angry very often.
Okay.
But I think the thing that probably frustrates me and annoys me and makes me angry the most is when people don't think about the implications of what they're doing, or the sort of the knock-on effects, or the impact of what they're doing on people around them.
That's always quite an important one. What makes you smile the most?
Definitely my kids. and time with my family is
it's wonderful.
Absolutely love that.
Great. Do you have a secret talent?
Not sort of specifically, I don't think, but one thing that I'm particularly good at is spotting connections between completely different things, and so being able to join the dots between all sorts of things that are on the surface entirely unrelated.
Yeah, that's why you're in data, to make those.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, understand those patterns. Yeah. So if you weren't doing what you're doing now, what would you be doing?
I would love to go into space. Love to be an astronaut.
My goodness, wow.
That would be my,
amazing.
If there's anything that I could be doing instead of what I'm doing,
Awesome. What are the three things that you can't live without?
I think this might be a slightly strange one, but my sense of sort of purpose, and I'm very driven, and I think I would find it difficult if I didn't have that.
That's that's an amazing point. No one's actually ever said that. Did you know that?
But I guess it's not a physical thing.
Absolutely. I love it.
I think sort of books in general and an ability to sort of, to read and consume books of all sorts of different types would be would be a second. And then I've mentioned my family a couple of times, but I'm so close to my wife and kids, but then my wider family as well.
Extended fantastic. On the subject of books, what fictional character would you want to be?
I don't know, to be honest.
No.
I know. So I know if I asked my daughter, then she'd say something from either a character from Moana or from Frozen. I guess it would probably be a character from history.
Okay, what's the most adventurous thing you've done in your life?
So when I was just after I graduated, I went to South America and spent a year traveling and doing some volunteer work in South America. But when I was there, probably certainly the most adventurous thing that we did was I was there with a couple of mates. We traveled into the Colombian Amazon rainforest. Wow. So on a sort of 5-day trek to a place called Ciudad Perdida, so Lost City. So it's absolute middle of nowhere. And just have so many incredible, fantastic memories of,
I bet.
Of yeah, that.
I hope you had a guide.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We had. It was the three of us. We had a fantastic.
Oh, it sounds amazing. Guide.
Yeah. It was. Right, so
we could have a whole show on that. what's the last show that you binge watched?
It's something called the Last Kingdom.
Oh yes. Yeah. Which, yeah.
So it's based on Bernard Cornwell novels, all about the time of King Arthur. King Alfred.
Alfred, but going into
and moving into so Alfred and then the makings of England as a,
the Magna Carta and so on.
So
wonderful. I haven't seen it yet, but it's one on my list. How would you define yourself in three words?
I'd say I'm enthusiastic. I'm compassionate, passionate, one of the two, or maybe tenacious.
Fantastic. Is there anything that is currently inspiring you in the data world right now?
So something that I find incredibly inspiring is some of the work at it's almost cross-sector work that's going on around project data analytics.
Okay. Yeah.
So the way that projects get delivered now and there's some incredibly it's crazy. I can't statistics around this, but when it comes to the way that projects get success of projects, only 1 in 200 major projects is delivered on time, on budget, and inside the benefits envelope that was laid out at the beginning. And so there's a movement of people and organizations that are trying to do something about that using data and bringing all of the modern analytical techniques and compute power to that's now available to change that.
Yeah, fantastic. I love that. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
As a young leader, team manager, my boss at the time, he took me aside after I was starting to get very vocal about frustrations that I'd got with the sort of lack of pace and lack of change. Yeah. And challenge that I was seeing within the organization. And he said that it's fine for me to have all of those things, but to take a look at my team and see how my attitude and the way that I was coming across was sort of impacting on them, and seeing how they were sort of picking up on some of the language and some of the frustrations that I'd got. And so I think what that really kind of taught me was the responsibility that you've got as a leader to lead, and to lead in the right way.
Great advice. What makes you feel accomplished?
I think, I mean, it ties back to what I said about my sort of sense of purpose, and we've got so many challenges in the world today. Sort of societal challenges, environmental challenges. I mean, the climate crisis that we're dealing with at the moment, and these are phenomenally difficult things that we need to deal with. Being able to say at the end of the day that I can draw a line to some of the things that I'm doing to some of those huge
challenges
things,
way
beyond what I'm doing.
But you're doing your bit,
and I think that I'm doing something that I believe in.
Wonderful. What three words describe living in the UK?
Three words describe living in the UK. Exciting, it's almost peaceful or tranquil, I don't know, I'll have to think
okay.
about that.
Okay, no problem. Optimist or pessimist?
Optimist.
What's heavily played on your music playlist right now?
I've mentioned Frozen and Moana.
It's more. It's inside your head. It's not on the playlist.
Exactly. I don't need any headphones. It's just there. No, but when I'm not at all musically talented. And my taste in music are just very eclectic, and
depending on
what I'm doing or where I am, I'll listen to something different.
So do you have a favorite band, or is it just you go across?
So I'm very much I would probably always come back to rock and the Rolling Stones, for instance.
Cool. What three things are at the top of your bucket list?
So I mentioned South America. I'd love to be able to take my family, my kids back to South America, and some of the places that I went to, some of the things that I did there, and kind of relive those. I guess following on that theme of travel, I'd love to sort of just take a long distance sort of train rides. So whether or not that's sort of Trans-Siberian Railway or Orient Express or observing changes in landscape and culture and all sorts of things. I think would really like that. And then I guess it's on along a similar theme, but have a real affinity to open water and sailing on open
great.
Water.
So, wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's perfect. What book did you most recently finish?
So I've just finished one called The Art of Resilience by a guy called Ross Edgley. He swam nonstop around the UK.
Oh, wow.
Well, around.
Yeah.
Great Britain.
Yes.
The Great British Swim, I think, was the
amazing
was a few years ago now, but the whole book is about about his journey and how he had to create a whole new sort of philosophy of Stoic sports science to get him round, and how, because of the conditions that he was in, actually it was far more of a mental challenge and challenge than actually a swimming challenge.
God, the different waters he must have gone through. Just horrendous.
Yeah. So swimming through the night with a jellyfish tentacle kind of stuck underneath his goggle that he hadn't realized was there.
Oh, and just my goodness.
One of the sort of, the stings that was causing him, the delirium going through, but that actually he'd got a goal and
he was so focused
he was so focused on that and everything that he needed to do to get there was just part of the journey, part of the experience. And
amazing. I've written that down. I'll have a look at that. If you could go back in time, what would you tell your 16-year-old self?
Keep playing sport. Keeping active. That's something I sort of picked it up again when I was at university, but through my kind of teenage years, I lost a lot of that organized sports.
Yeah. Any particular sport?
Football.
Oh, okay. What position?
I played all over the pitch. Uh-huh.
What's your favorite one?
I ended up playing as a fullback, to be honest.
Okay.
And as a sort of marauding fullback. So part of what I had in my locker was my sort of my energy levels. So being able to bomb forward
and then come back.
And then make it back. So knew it was time for me to hang up my boots in a playing 11-a-side when ball got hit over my head.
Yeah.
There I was I was probably about 30 or so at the time, up against a fairly young winger.
Yeah.
Going shoulder to shoulder, charging for the ball. And then my winger charged past the pair of us, picked the ball up and knocked it back up the pitch. And I thought I was quite fast.
And then you realize your limitations.
I think that was my point at which I had one of those 11 aside for me.
Yeah. Oh gosh, they're the worst things when you suddenly have that realization. You think, oh my God, I can't do this anymore. If you could switch lives with one person for a day, who would it be?
I would go for Edu Gaspar.
Oh yeah.
So I'm a big Arsenal fan and love what they're doing at the moment and sat at the top of the league. But for me, it's the work that Edu is the sort of sporting director, it's that long-term focus of not only building a successful team for today, but making sure that there is that longevity.
Tough to do in many of these clubs, isn't it?
Yes, very much so.
If you had to change something in the world right now, what would it be?
Making a switch to 100% renewable energy.
Mm-hmm. If you could resurrect one person from history and put them in the world today, who would it be?
Good question. There are so many, but I guess perhaps one of the American forefathers, maybe someone like Benjamin Franklin.
Really? And how bizarre. I was just thinking that. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah. I was just thinking. He's, that's amazing. They went through something, didn't they?
They did,
and
I think there's definitely a place to learn from them. This time,
yeah, agreed. Yeah, what's the one thing you wish you knew at the age of 19?
That time is really precious, and that that's something that actually applying yourself at that age and working out, it doesn't have to be the thing that you're going to always end up doing, but applying yourself at that age
makes sense. Have that focus, and because you can be quite all over the place at that age, can't you?
I know, I definitely
to find
was.
Yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess perhaps completely contradictory to what I've just said, that you don't. It took me a while to find my purpose and find my direction.
Well, you're young. I mean, it's as if you know it. Yeah. I mean, it's sort of, you know, coming into the world and thinking, oh my God, where's my place? Which is, which is, you know, I think we all go through. If you weren't living in the UK, where would you be living?
My wife and I love Southern Italy.
Place in particular?
Somewhere in Puglia. Anywhere down in the heel of Italy.
Oh, wonderful, great place. If you could offer one piece of advice to upcoming data leaders, what would it be?
Connect with other data leaders.
It
can be incredibly lonely as a data leader. It working often in your organization, we've mentioned the sort of immaturity of the construction sector when it comes to understanding of data. But I know from conversations with data leaders across many other sectors, they face a lot of the same challenges.
Exactly.
But having those contacts and having those connections, and some of the, between us, we kind of call it therapy sometimes, just being able to chat to
Well, you need it because, you need that sounding board, don't you? I think it's everybody needs that default person or, you know, body of people that you can just call and say, hey, listen, I'm having this problem. What do I do? You know, no, I think in all industries, it's really important that you have that network. What's one city you've always dreamed of traveling to?
Good question. Perhaps somewhere like Beijing or Shanghai. Mm-hmm. Somewhere, mm-hmm. I've been lucky enough to travel around a fair bit, but
you haven't got as far as that yet.
I've been to various places, but never been to China.
Right. Right. Yeah. What was the best lesson your parents ever taught you?
I think sort of compassion for other people, mm-hmm. and to put myself in other people's shoes, and think about the fact that they are an individual and they have their own kind of wants and needs, and
of course.
Often people don't do anything, or it's unlikely they're doing something malicious, even if they're kind of, and actually to just sort of step back and think about that.
Good advice. A few quick round questions. Favorite food?
Maybe lasagna.
Oh, favorite podcast?
Good question. I've not been out with the kids.
Okay, don't worry.
I've not listened to any podcasts for a while.
How do you relax?
Time out in the open air with with the kids.
A movie that made you cry. Don't say Frozen.
and I won't say Moana either.
Makes you cry for other reasons.
I can't think of one, but last year was quite an emotional year. We had my mum passed away.
Sorry to hear.
But I hadn't thought of myself as an emotional person. Now I find myself tearing up at all sorts of things. I mean, I mentioned the Art of Resilience, so I was listening to that as an audiobook, and there were times I'm sort of on the way home from the school run, and yeah, fighting back the tears.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Something that's completely innocuous, but so yeah.
I can empathize with that for sure. Who would you say is your biggest inspiration?
I'm not sure I've got one.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are so many different kind of incredibly strong leaders and people with all sorts of different traits.
Mm-hmm.
I think those that are sort of full of humility probably mm-hmm. Are some of the ones that are most inspiring.
Yeah. I don't know if you've got a window in front of you. I don't know whether you're.
So I'm in a basement.
You're actually in the basement. That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Yeah. So you don't.
Yeah. You sort of see the stairs in the background, but yeah. So
you can't see anything. No, I was going to say,
can't see anything out
through your window. What's something you still possess from your childhood?
We've still got a lot of the toys that I had when I was growing up.
Wow.
And they would have lived in my parents' loft for decades. And they're still intact. And then, so we moved into this new house 18 months ago or so, and literally 2 days after we'd moved in, there was a knock at the door and a truckload of stuff that it had been in storage just turned up.
Goodness.
And yeah, they were like, right, here you go. You can deal with this now. This is your problem.
Yeah, exactly. Time to take some responsibility.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think my father did the same thing to me at one point. What's the superpower you wish you had?
So I don't know if this counts as a superpower.
All right. But
in Harry Potter, Hermione had a time turner.
Oh, yes, yes.
So the ability to effectively be in two places at once.
And
never be late.
Yeah, and, perfect.
It's
a super object.
Yes, absolutely.
What's something you don't want to be doing in 10 years?
Good question. Something that I definitely want to be doing that I don't do very much of at the moment.
Right. Okay. Flip it around.
Is far more exercise.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Than I'm currently doing.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely conscious of that too. Looking back on your life, is there anything you would have done differently?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
That's fine.
Yeah, there's some things that I definitely have regretted, but at the same time, recognize that I probably need to sort of forgive myself for those things.
Absolutely.
And learn from them.
Yeah, that's the biggest way. A movie that makes you laugh the hardest.
Christmas Vacation.
Okay. If you could teach one subject in school, what would it be? School or university or college?
Probably history.
What's a skill you're currently mastering?
Coaching.
Ah, okay. What three words best describe your leadership style?
Cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
Open.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I try to be quite thoughtful as well.
What are your top three data challenges right now?
So a lot revolve around I guess it's three parts of the same of the same challenge almost, but certainly two. But access and mm-hmm. ownership.
Mm-hmm.
But then also trust. In data.
it seems like a common theme.
Yeah.
The ownership one in particular, but trust is massive. Yeah. How do you handle pressure in your career?
So I tend to go back to the big picture and pull back to really recognize actually in the grand scheme of things, how much does this, how important is this pressure? Yeah. And then we'll also kind of fall back on the my learning and my and my experience. And then work out what action needs to be taken, what needs to be done.
Yeah, very thoughtful process. What's the one thing you had to learn the hard way?
Delivering change.
Oh, yeah. big bucket.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is something that's tough. What's something you notice about someone when you first meet them?
Perhaps how engaged they are.
How interested.
You know, how interested and how much they want to be there. but also that part of that is how comfortable they feel.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. What's something you still like to learn?
I still like to learn. I'd love to learn to sing.
And, yeah.
And okay. Now that is a tall order because that is and it's going to be something that is very difficult. But yeah.
And have you tried it before? Is that something you just?
Other than sort of various kind of nightmare situations.
Karaoke situations.
Karaoke or standing up in front of the class. Vivid memory of standing up in front of class at school and having to sing something solo. And
oh my goodness, fantastic.
Completely butchering it.
Well, you got time. You could be singing in 10 years' time.
Absolutely.
You could be there. Yeah. And my final question to you, Gareth, is what would you like to be remembered for?
Good question. I guess I'm not so bothered about me. The impact that I would like to have is that I think where we are as humanity at the moment, there's a huge opportunity for some new institutions to grow up around data. So if you think back 150, 200 years and all of the pioneering engineering institutions that are still around today, and that have had a huge impact on society over a really long period of time, and whether or not it's the likes of those organizations sort of embracing data and becoming more data driven, or whether or not it's a new epoch of data driven institutions that are there to help bind together some of the sort of fabric of society, help increase the levels of trust in the world, help solve some of the huge challenges that we face. Being a part of that is something that I would, wonderful, I guess, like to be remembered for.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, Gareth Parks, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you about you and your journey. Thank you very much, and I wish you well for the day.
Super. Thanks very much, Samir. Yeah, really enjoyed it.
Great. Thank you.